What's up, Falcons fans? It's once again another edition of Falcon Cast. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. We got a big announcement here to start the show with.
Major.
You can take us with you. Subscribe to Falcon Cast on iTunes. Just search Falcon Cast and hit the subscribe button to get each week's episode on the go. So for those of you that don't have time to watch the video, plug us in, listen to us.
We've been on iTunes for a very long time, and we just haven't really pushed that side of it, and we should, I think. No, that's on Bosek. We've been on there all the time. You know, I listen to podcasts all the time in my car. I don't listen to music anymore in my car. I listen to like all kinds of podcasts. And so I think a lot of people are starting to get into them now. And I think if
you gotta
people
give me
know
some
that
good,
they can,
gotta give me some good podcasts.
I've heard of.
I'll give you some.
I've heard of a great one that one of my buddies told me to listen to called Serial.
Yeah,
it's about a serial killer. It's supposedly awesome.
It will blow your mind. You'll be hooked. It's amazing.
What do they tell stories or what?
It's Serial is a it's like 12 individual podcasts, maybe about an hour each, mm-hmm. where this journalist delves into this case where the kid who went to prison for life for murder may or may not be
the serial killer.
Mm. It's a true story, and this guy's in jail, and she has conversations and records it and all that kind of stuff. So it's just kind of her journey through the evidence, and at the end of it, I mean, I'm not going to give anything away, but you just kind of come to your own conclusion about what happened.
Okay.
It's really interesting. It's very good. Okay. There's a lot of good podcasts out there, but I think a lot of people are taking the podcast with them. You can listen to us in your car.
Take us with
wherever you go.
Take us.
So you don't have to
watch us.
The
gift that keeps on giving.
Bathroom, honestly, anywhere, man, while you're taking take us with you, man.
Take us with you wherever you go.
If Shock wants to take you there, that's
I'm just
completely
saying, take
up
us
there.
Everywhere. Come on.
Well, there are some people right now that we're trying to take us into the toilet, and I'm not going to say this. There's some local sports talk that, let's just say, the sky was falling immediately. Oh, the Falcons lost the game.
Season's over.
It's over with. There's not a person.
They were exposed.
There is not a person, and I'm including the people in this room, that if we would have told you on August the 1st, you will be 5-1 after the Saints game.
Take it.
That we wouldn't have said, got it, I'll take it, 5-1, let's go.
Thank you.
Yet the Falcons are 5-1, and the national media, who we know always dogs us, the local media, who sometimes dogs us, all of our own fan base, they're all upset. I get it. It stunk. Jay and I were on the sidelines. DJ, I know you do the post-game show on the network. It stinks to lose to the New Orleans Saints. Yet you're still 5-1.
It stinks to lose that way. It stinks to lose in their building. It stinks to lose on national TV. But at the end of the day, you're still 5-1. Okay, mm-hmm. You had a short week. You come in, you play on the road after a short week. You don't play as well as you wanted to. Okay, not the end of the world. You got a little bit of a rest. You were a little banged up. All those guys are healthy. We learned on Wednesday. All those guys are practicing. It looks like the majority of them are going to play this week. There's a lot to be excited about here coming up, and I've just seen a whole lot of negativity.
Here's what's interesting to me is you go back to the game, and even in the fourth quarter, with everything that's happened, you're only down 10 points. Yeah. You got a chance to – if you get a stop, you got a chance to cut the lead down to even three or even make it even a closer game, and you still have a chance. And what's so interesting about the ball game was – you did everything to yourself.
Of course.
Yeah. It wasn't really much the Saints did. Obviously, they sacked you a few times, but you fumbled the football in the red zone. You've done that a couple times in the past couple of weeks. Those are self-inflicted wounds. I mean, mm-hmm. you're moving the football. You're on point. You're ready to go, and you do it to yourself. So it's not like you said, people saying you're getting exposed. Exposed to what? Drew Brees had a good day. He is Drew Brees.
Yeah, he's all.
He is going to play sound football. He's going to play good football. He's done it for years and years. I mean, you can't expect to just stop a Drew Brees. He's going to make his plays. He's going to make things happen. Yeah, tight end got off a little bit. That's going to happen too. Some players, they get paid as well to make plays. They scheme for you just like the Falcons scheme for them. They're going to make their plays as well. And at the end of the day, you still had a chance to win, and you did it to yourself. So this is no game to say the Falcons were exposed. This is no game where you say where you look back where the Falcons beat up on Houston and you destroyed them. It wasn't a game like that. You were still in the ballgame and had a chance.
You know, one of the things to look forward to with this is how does Dan Quinn respond now to being a head coach coming off a loss. He hadn't had to deal with that. I know they lost in the preseason. Preseason doesn't count. They're trying to figure out a 53-man roster. Now all of a sudden you get a chance to turn the page. You lose a division game, obviously, against New Orleans. You turn the attention to Tennessee. I think Jay said something that's really good. Thursday nights, it's tough. And we talked about that on the last Falcon cast, just getting ready physically and mentally to turn right around and play. Now all of a sudden you get sort of a bye week. I know for me it was nice to sit at home on a Sunday and just watch football and do nothing else. Like literally not move off the couch. I just got fat. I do that most of the time anyway.
Same.
But for the team, you also got that opportunity to sit at home, let guys like Julio and Mike Person and Justin Durant nurse their injuries, get treatment, not have to worry about traveling or playing a game, and now they get ready to turn around and play Tennessee.
I think, and DJ can probably speak to this a little bit, but I think maybe fans lose sight of the fact that, you know, yeah, these guys are paid a lot of money to be here and put in a lot of hours, and you put in a lot of long hours, not only here, but at home, trying to get ready, studying film, tape, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes when you're just so completely oversaturated with that stuff, you just need a break.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, no matter, you know, you just need a break away from that kind of stuff. Honestly, like, I'll get to a point where we'll go 5 weeks. I'm not playing. We'll go 5 weeks, and I'll close my eyes, and I just see the logo. Every time I close my eyes, I see the bird. And sometimes you just need to get away.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you get a couple of days to sit around and just kind of decompress how much better you come back and work. And I've watched these guys before practice. They're energized. There is no letdown in this team right now. But I think you've got to understand how important rest is, especially to professional athletes.
As a guy who's been through the Thursday night games, who's been through, you know, years in the NFL, what you just mentioned is paramount, because as a player, people don't realize it's so much that goes into 1 week's game plan. There's so much that you have to think about for a player as far as each and every day you have to be on your game. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you know your game plan, because if not, somebody else is going to take your job. That's stress enough. Yeah, you're making a lot of money, but guess what? It's a lot that goes into it, and it can be taken away just as quick as it's given to you. There's also the part of you're playing on prime time, like you just mentioned. You got to make sure you're doing your game plan, you're doing it right, doing it for your teammates, making sure you represent the Falcons on the field in the best way possible. And it's so much pressure on guys that you need that break. And it's not just physical, it's mental as well. Mm-hmm. You go through so much throughout a week of, like I mentioned, it's so much that you got to worry about offensively, just from a quarterback standpoint, knowing what's going on first down, second down, third down, not just on your team, but you got to know what kind of front they're going to have versus a certain type of formation. You got to know on certain downs they're going to play this certain coverage, or they're going to bring this blitz versus this type of formation that you put out. Or you bring in this personnel, you got to know where it's at. You got to look at the clock. You got to know what's going on each and every single play. And as a quarterback, you have to really be just so in tune, so focused on each and every play. It's just mentally draining. And, yeah, it's your job. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. But to the point of, you need that break. You have to just get away from it, go home, like you say, just sit on the couch, not have to worry about taking notes, not have to worry about doing anything else, but just relax, watch a game, sit back, chill, and just kind of re-energize yourself. And players go through it. The coaches go through it. Mm-hmm. They spend even more time breaking down film, getting the game plan together. It's so much more than just showing up on Sundays and performing or not performing that goes into a guy being physically or mentally ready for a season.
Yeah, I mean, think about the grind that you're going through from the time training camp starts until you get maybe a Thursday night game and you get a bye week, or, you know, whatever it is. You are punching the clock for about 80, 90 hours.
This goes back even further than training. It goes back to the off-season.
OTAs and mini camps and all that other stuff.
They expect so much out of you by the time you come.
Right. Yeah,
before you even start training camp, they expect you to be in shape, expect you to know what happened in OTAs and minicamp, and then be able to perform when asked. There's so much that goes up into it. It looks like it's all fun and games when you show up on Sunday. Yeah, Sundays are fun. You work so hard at it. But when we talk about this mini bye week, what it means so much to the players, baby, just sit back and relax and just get to talk to it, like you mentioned. Like you said, you close your eyes and you see the bird. It's you guys do just as much as the players do.
Sure.
And it's a fact of, I just need a break, man.
Yeah.
If not, you get burnt out.
And you won't find a person in this building who doesn't love everything that they're doing on a daily basis. But, man, I love this, what Mike Smith used to say. He used to say, either you're overworked, underprepared, or just right.
Yeah.
And it's so true because, you know, you can put forth the effort without all the time that kind of goes into it. And I think that's really important to have balance. And when you get out of balance, which I think is easy to do during the football season because of the pressure, the grind, the amount of work that you got to do, it's nice to just kind of take that break and rest
up. And being around here, average doesn't get it.
No.
If you're doing just enough, people are going to know about it.
Yep.
And it's going to show up on Sundays. It's going to show up in your preparation throughout the week. And it's just unacceptable. And that's why, you know, guys put the extra work in. That's why guys hold out all those times, because they put so much into this game. Mm-hmm. And then when they get a chance to get paid for it, they want to get paid for it so that, you know, everything they do doesn't go in vain. And it's not to, you know, get on those guys and say, look, hey, they making all this money. It should be easy. That's part of their job. Yeah, it is. But at the end of the day, these guys are human beings just like everybody else. Yep. And sometimes you need to step away just like everybody else.
A couple of things they're going to want to address this week. And I think we'd all agree to what the shortcomings were against New Orleans. I think for the first time all year, the offensive line struggled. Mm-hmm. Cameron Jordan had a Pro Bowl caliber game. He was making his presence felt. I think the pass rush, and we've kind of glossed over it. We've given credit where it's due to guys getting pressure. But last week, Drew Brees had a little bit too much time, and I think Dan Quinn would admit to that as well. And the third one for me, and part of it plays into injury, and I don't want to blame the injury card all the time. Julio hasn't been the same Julio as he was after the Dallas game. Going into finishing Dallas, mm-hmm. I mean, this guy was averaging, what, about 14 catches and 160 yards. Now he's been more human. I mean, 6 for 96 out of most receivers, they'd go, hey, I'll take that in a heartbeat. For Julio, you're going, that's all he
what's
got?
Man, what's wrong
with him? So those three things, I think Dan Quinn and coaching staff probably spent the weekend while we were enjoying other NFL games and college football, they were figuring out, A, can we get Mike Person healthy, get him back at center, maybe solidify the offensive line? Can we figure out how to get pressure with our front four, because it didn't work against New Orleans? And do we go back to like we did against the Giants and force feed Julio 5 or 6 balls in the first quarter?
Yeah, and you know, I think, Jay, you were in there when you know, DQ did his press conference, you know, on Wednesday, and he talked about today was – it's all about the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I know they stress. We talked about it when we first came on. You can't turn the football. Everybody knows that. You turn the football over, it's hard to win games in this league. So I love to hear the emphasis right off the bat of, yeah, we know what happened. We know what we need to do to get better, and this is what we're going to do about it. And mm-hmm. today we focus every single part of our practice on making sure we take care of the ball. And for me, obviously, yeah, you guys have Matt Ryan a little bit. He had Cameron Jordan, what he had, 4 sacks or something like that. Well, they had 5 sacks total, whatever. But for me, it's on the other side of the football. A guy like Drew Brees is already good. You don't need to help him by not getting any pressure on him. And a lot of people say the sacks are not coming. For me, it's not big about sacks. You go back to watching Seattle and their defense, they always rush with 4. They never really rush with more than 4 or 5. And even the game where you won against Washington and the pick you had, Stupar come off the edge, that was only bringing 5. This is just a defense that doesn't really blitz a lot. So sacks have to come from that front four rushing. And I think all of that comes in line with me saying, I think they bowl more for pressure than sacks. You want sacks, yes, but when pressure comes, then sacks happen. Right. And I think this is a defense over time that's going to get more. They're going to get better. They're going to find ways to get to the quarterback. They're going to scheme different ways up front to, you know, get guys to the quarterback. And it's only a matter of time. But last week obviously was something that was definitely a red light for everybody, saying we have to get to a guy like Drew Brees. Quarterbacks who you're going to see later down the line, Falcons get into the playoffs, you're going to see the elite of the elite. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see guys who, if you give them time, regardless of who you have on the back end, they're going to find somebody open. So you got to find a way to move him and pressure him, and he can't feel comfortable in the pocket. A guy like Drew Brees especially.
The thing I love about this coaching staff and just what you hear from Dan Quinn is just how he's never satisfied mm-hmm. with how the team plays. I mean, there's always something that they can get better at. And now you're seeing, coming off a loss, he looks at it like, hey, we've got a long list of stuff that we can get better at. But you know what? We've got the opportunity to get mm-hmm. better at it, and we're going to do that. And you truly believe that when he steps to the podium and he says words like that. I think the other side of it that you look at is this is a coach that is fine with bringing guys in,
right,
and taking a look and seeing how he can change the roster. How can he bring somebody else in who maybe has a strength that they don't have right now? Mm-hmm. And we saw that. You bring in Philip Wheeler this week. Good coverage linebacker. So, and you've seen, we talk about the pass rush.
It's a
situation where teams are hitting you, and we talked about this on the sideline, teams are hitting you in that 8 to 13-yard zone.
Yep.
Okay, so for Drew Brees, it's drop back, boom, and you're just finding your guy. It's not a lot of time to get there. So what you have to do is then improve at the linebacker spot and improve some of those coverage issues that you're having. So, you know, all these things kind of go hand in hand, but what I love about it is that you're seeing them recognize issues and then doing things to change it.
They talked about Tevin Coleman during the week. And remember, Tevin has a big fumble. Great run. I mean, he goes 4 for 40. So you can tell there's explosive ability out of Tevin Coleman. Unfortunately, he lays the ball on the ground inside the 10. A couple of things I took from that. The first person on the field when Tevin Coleman fumbles the football, literally meets him 20 yards onto the field, is Devontae Freeman. Mm-hmm. This is a guy you're competing for playing time. You're competing for touches. But the team mentality that's been instilled in these guys is so evident. Devontae comes running out there, puts his arm around Tevin, kind of pats him on the head. And you could see Tevin is like emotionally distraught that he just fumbled the football, head down. And Devontae's saying, "Oh, man, it's going to be okay. You're going to get more carries. We're going to need you." That shows a lot to me. And the second thing is Dan Quinn said this week, we're going to continue to give him the football. This kid, it's not
they
like
did
all
it
of a
on
sudden,
the next drive.
Yeah, it's not like this kid all of a sudden he's just going to disappear and be off the run. He's going to get touches. And for all the people, and I saw this on Twitter, and I got a lot of these tweets, and Jay, I'm sure you did. Dan Quinn messed up the whole flow of the game when he put Tevin Coleman in. What are you talking about? Like, are you completely insane sitting in your living room as if Dan Quinn's going, you know what's going to mess up the game today? I'm going to put Tevin Coleman in. 4 carries, 40 yards. That's pretty darn good. Unfortunately, he fumbled the football.
Yeah, and I think, look, how do you know not to touch the stove?
It's hot.
You get burned sometimes, okay? Look, I think sometimes you have to learn the hard way that about protecting the football, carrying the football, being more mindful of what you're doing. I mean, I watched that play and how it came out. He just got hit in the right spot, and the ball pops out. You know, that stuff happens. If one of our players falls on it, then we're not talking about this right now. So, you know, look, these are young guys. Their heads are swimming. They're playing on national TV, all those things. And I know that this is not an excuse, but look, there's a lot of factors that go into how things happen. You know, be a little understanding of just how those things can just pop up in a game. It was a game where literally I think you can look at the number of fumbles and say, well, the ball just didn't bounce our way.
You said it on the sideline, Jay. There was a moment, and I try to be, and you do as well, we try to be the eternal optimist.
Yeah.
You kind of looked at me and go, this just isn't our night.
No.
And it wasn't. I mean, James Stone, I'm not sure what happened. Did he snap it to himself? Did he think? Whatever happened, he snapped the ball that, as a center, a guy that probably snaps, 1,000 balls a week out here at practice, that's never going to happen.
Right.
But it happened on Thursday night.
What's interesting is, and you guys have seen this, the Falcons start practice with center QB exchange.
Yeah.
So this happens every single day. Walkthrough or not, this happens every single day.
Yep.
And it's just one of those freak plays that happens throughout a game.
And that's taking it from all the centers.
Oh, yeah, all of them. You go right down the line. Yep. You get the same cadence from all the different guys. They get to hear every guys how they call it. It's just one of those freak things that happen. How many times will you ever see Matt when turns around to go a handoff and hit the fullback with it? That just just doesn't hardly ever happen.
Right.
How many times does he, you know, give a handoff to the tail? I mean, stuff like that makes you think it's just not our night. It's things are not rolling our way, and you got to accept that.
And Ben Watson all of a sudden, and Ben's a great dude. We've got to know Ben, you know, doing stuff here locally. He had a career night. I mean, Ben Watson, he's going to put that in his capsule whenever, you know, his career's over. And that highlight will be Ben Watson will never have another game like that. It was just one of those nights where Drew was putting the ball on the money. Ben was making plays. Credit. Sometimes you have to give credit to what happened on the other side as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to one thing you just mentioned real quick about Devontae being the first guy on the field and being a team type of player. And for me, what that says to me, when you first said it, what I thought about was, he sees the big picture because he knows I can't carry the football
every single
play. I
can't take it 30 times every week.
I'm not going to carry the football. I need another guy who can come in and spell me and keep this thing rolling. And then we get back there in the red zone. We get back in the close to the end zone, and I'm back in. I need somebody who I know I can count on, and then he knows he can count on me. And he knows when he goes in the game, I'm not over there rooting against him.
Right.
And automatically, I know a guy in his second year can see the big picture. He understands what's best, not just for this team, this offense. He understands what's best for himself and also for everybody involved. So that was a great observation.
And I think you look back, let's go back to May during rookie minicamp. Tevin Coleman comes in here and he looks at the media and he says, my intention is to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in here to start. Now, Devontae Freeman is thinking, well,
I'm already here.
Apparent. Steven Jackson's gone. Yeah. This is my job.
Yeah.
You're coming at me. So the next week when we get veterans back for OTAs, Devontae comes and says, I didn't come here to play second fiddle to any man. So these guys are going back and forth in the media, and it was good for their competition, for how they grew. But these two guys, they're talking to each other in the locker room. They're helping each other off the field during stressful times. I mean, these guys are very, very close, and you got to love the competition between the two. And I think they both, for a 22 and a 23-year-old, to understand the big picture, like you said, and not be selfish about stats and all these different things, I think is incredible. I think the other point, too, that I want to make real quick is that if Tevin doesn't hurt his ribs in that Giants game, he's still the guy, and you're probably looking at a much more balanced distribution of carries.
Oh, of course.
So when we're talking about Dan Quinn messing up the flow of the game, I mean, if that injury doesn't happen, get used to seeing the ball going to not only those two, but Teron Ward as well.
Right.
Competition goes a long way. And we go back a couple weeks when all the stuff was coming out about Roddy wanting the ball more and all that kind of stuff, and Matt Ryan stood up and said, listen, I want a receiver who wants the ball. And it's the same goes for the running backs. Both these guys stood up and said, I want to be the guy. And going into a game, if you got two players in there competing like that, and you know they both want the rock, so you know every time they get in the game, they're trying to bust it. They're trying to make it the best one so they can stay in. It just breeds so much competition. And you guys have mentioned this over and over. That's the one thing Coach Quinn has brought here since day one, is he wants competition all the way across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Falcons do have some Pro Bowl candidates out there. NFL.com/Pro Bowl/ballot. You can go and vote. Go vote. That means go vote for our guys. Don't vote for other people. Here's the people on the list. Matt Ryan, no surprise. Julio Jones, no surprise. Desmond Trufant, no surprise. Jake Matthews, no surprise. Robert Alford playing better. Matt Bosher, Matt Bryant, and Devontae Freeman. Can I vote for all of them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I look at those.
And you look at the season, you say all these guys have made huge contributions.
And here's the thing. This is just a list of our guys that kind of stand out. But every single one of the starters is eligible to be voted for. So, you know, your Chris Chesters, your Ryan Schraders, your Patrick DeMarcos, all those guys are on the roster or on the ballot. So you can go ahead and vote for the entire Falcons team and get them down the wire.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not being biased because we're doing Falcon Cats. I can look at this right now and make a legitimate argument for probably six of those guys I named to easily be Pro Bowlers. Matt Ryan having a great year. Julio's, there's no doubt he's in. Desmond Trufant, no doubt that he's in. I think Jake Matthews is a no-doubter being in.
Yep.
Matt Bosher's having an unbelievable year.
Bombing it.
Until he got hit the other day, but he got hammered.
Yeah.
And Devontae Freeman. I mean, you're talking about those guys right there, and you can throw Matt Bryan in. He's always a kicker that makes a ton of kicks. And Patrick DeMarco's the one that I really think – fullbacks don't get talked about. He's been depleting people this year. I don't know what he's been eating, his Wheaties or Captain Crunch or whatever it may be, but he's been hitting.
I think DeMarco's understood what his opportunity is about, because Mooney, when he came in the preseason, was making a lot of noise. And now I think he looks at it like, I got an opportunity, and I'm going to make sure I seize that opportunity. And we're talking about Matt, Julio, Devontae. Those are three guys who are top three in almost every category.
Yep.
And that at their particular position in the National Football League. So it's easily one of those things you could say these guys are definitely should be in.
And here's the thing is you talk about positions like fullback and offensive line, they largely become popularity contests.
Sure.
People go with the names that they know, and that's why it's so important for people like us to continue to recognize the accomplishments of guys like DeMarco and guys along the offensive line, because you know you've got John Kuhn in Green Bay, who everybody knows about him,
right?
And well, you know, clearly he's going to have a great year, so I'm just going to vote him when DeMarco is having a heck of a year and maybe not a lot of people know about
it. It's funny you say that, Jay, and I'll go on and vote on NFL.com/Pro Bowl/ballot because I enjoy it. I like to look, but there are times that I get to like the guard position, I go, Will Shields, can I put – no, he's retired. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Is Brown still on the roster?
You start to look and you go, who is – and a guy could be like 40 years old and not playing. And you go, oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to see. Right. I mean, we're working on Sundays. Sure, we don't get to see what happens with, you know, Tennessee or the Jets. We don't know how good their guards are playing.
When I do my rooms to go armchair quarterback, when I break down certain plays, there are a lot of times where – I say, yeah, this was a great run by Devontae. This is a great run by Tevin. But I said, but let's look at the interior. Let's look at how he created. There was a play in the Saints game, and I was highlighting Jake on the play. Jake, he pulls around. He doesn't hit anybody until 10 yards down the field because his other offensive linemen are blocking. They got man-on-man. They're securing their guy. Jake comes around. There's nobody for him to block. You got Devontae and you got Julio double-teaming one of the nickelbacks. And here comes Jake coming around, and he kicks out the safety 12 yards down the field. And Tevin picks up one of those huge chunk plays. Mm-hmm. And everybody just sees the big run. But those guys in the trenches are making room. They're the reason why he's able to crease those big runs.
That's why a segment like that is so awesome because and I think we all get caught up from time to time as fans. We watch where the football goes, and we don't pay attention to anything else. And for you to break that down and show, I mean, Jake Matthews to get a guy 11 or 12 yards down the field, that's a lot of athleticism for a guy that's, you know, 320 pounds or whatnot.
Right. It's one of those things that it's an unsung hero type of play. It's one of those plays that if you're not really focused in on how it happened, you don't see it because, like a fan, I'm the same way. I watch the game. I watch the ball. Like to see where it's going. But because I know how important those guys are, it's so easy for me to see those guys doing their job. You like the first guy you mentioned was Chester. I mean, he has done an outstanding job. Yeah. Him, LaVitre, they've done a good job of creating holes for the running backs to run through. And a lot of times we see Devontae or Tevin, and they're putting it to – safeties or corners 8-9 yards down the field, and that's created because those got offensive linemen create the space up front. They're doing the proper job, not allowing guys to get penetration. Mm-hmm. So they're doing their job up front, and they need to be recognized.
Great book that I'd like to recommend for the fans out there if they don't know about it is Take Your Eye Off the Ball by Pat Kerwin.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote this book. It'll change the way you watch football.
Okay. Awesome.
Great, great, great book.
How many pages? Does it have pictures inside?
It's got some pictures. There are pictures.
Is there an audio version that will be read to me?
There might be, but, you know, it's there are words and there's, you know, over 100 pages. So I know it might be a little much for you.
For me, yeah.
But, no, seriously, great book. It'll absolutely change the way you watch the game.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I'll do that. You know what? Going to San Francisco, I have a lot of time
there
on a plane.
Go. There you go.
And it's a Friday, so there's no football on to watch. Yeah. Falcons obviously are going to play this week. We're on the road, right up the road, about three and a half hours north. Nashville, Tennessee, taking on the Tennessee Titans. We're coming off the mini bye. I actually, Sunday, sat and watched the Titans. Mm-hmm. Now, wasn't a lot to watch because they got their teeth kicked in. Miami new attitude for the Dolphins decided, hey, this Lamar Miller guy is pretty good. We're going to run the football. Opportunities should be huge for the Falcons in the running game because Lamar Miller had 6-7 yards, it seemed like, every time he touched it to pick up yards. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, I think, can play huge roles in controlling the clock.
This is the defense, like you just mentioned. They're ranked 21st in the National Football League against the run. Obviously, they're good against the pass, first in the league against the pass, but they're going to be plenty of room. They're going to be a lot of space to run the football this weekend, which is going to be good. The Falcons run the football really well. That's, I think, one of their strong suits right now. Obviously, I think Devontae and those guys and the offensive line up front have been key to the offense's success. And we mentioned earlier, we haven't found Julio of late. The passing game of late, it's been decent, but the run game is really what's got us going. So this is a good game to get back on track with the run game and also balance it out and make it throw the football as well.
I think it wouldn't be surprising to me if I look at the game book at the end and you noticed a pretty significant balance, but you know maybe in the first part of the game you notice a little bit more run heavy and really set that run up. I think in this last game against the Saints, we saw the Falcons come out and want to pass the ball.
Right.
I think we saw that pretty clearly, but I think it's going to go kind of the opposite way, but they're still going to find a way to maintain that balance, which you have to do against a defense like this.
The other thing in the Tennessee game that comes out, Olivier Vernon gets fined by the league for a low blow on Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota's got a sprained MCL. Looks like he's going to be out. So we get Zach Mettenberger, who can double as an extra in the movie Boogie Nights. One of the pictures he had. He had the stash. He had the long hair, the headband, all that stuff. Him and Brock Landers can hang out. But Zach Mettenberger, different type of quarterback. Mariota presents the problems running. He's a guy that was a spread option guy in college. Mettenberger's not going anywhere. He's dropping back. If it's five or seven steps, he's going to be mostly in the pocket. But he has a huge arm, can throw the football. Him and Kendall Wright had a pretty good connection a year ago. Does it scare you with the backup, DJ, seeing Mettenberger throw the ball?
You know what, Zach, like you mentioned, is a pretty good quarterback. And I think a guy who has that type of arm talent, I think he's a very prepared guy. The Titans were really high on him. I know they drafted Mariota, but they still were high on Mariota. And I think the fact that he's still there, and I haven't heard much about them saying, hey, if he has to play, we're going to be worried. I think he has all the ability. He's been in that system now. He understands what they want from him. And just seeing him in the preseason throwing it around, he's definitely a talented kid. And obviously having a dual threat guy back there poses more threats to you. But when you got a guy who you know is going to be back there 7-8 yards in the pocket, it's a different thing. And I think he's one of the guys who's one of the more less agile quarterbacks in the league. So there are guys who are pocket passers but can move as well. Right. I don't see him as one of those guys, but he could come out and make a couple of huge runs for us. And sometimes it's not even about, you know, moving or running 10, 12 yards to pick up a first down. It's more about how you move inside the pocket.
I'll say Marino yeah. couldn't move. He couldn't run from me to you, but he'll make you miss right. yeah. in that little box.
And I think he's one of those hated players, though. He plays with that kind of swagger that he feels he should be a starter. And I think this is extra motivation for him to come in and say, all right, I know you passed on me and picked up Mariota, but here's why I'm a pretty darn good quarterback, and he could definitely be auditioning for other teams right now to be their number one. So I guarantee you he's going to be ready to go.
I think facing a guy in this situation, I think, underscores the importance of the pass rush even more. You got to get to him. You got to rattle him. He's not going to go anywhere. You're going to have those sack opportunities. You've got to finish and make those happen. I think you bring up a really good point in his personality. He's such a cool customer where, you know, you might – a couple of weeks ago when we were facing Brandon Whedon, right, you think, well, he's going to have a little bit of pressure on him. Maybe he's going to be a little antsy. I don't know that you get the sense that Mettenberger is going to be like that. Even though he's thrust again into the starting position, he's got the experience, but he's just got that really cool personality where, you know, unless you get to him and unless you hit him and force him to make some bad decisions, he's going to remain pretty stoic in that pocket and find his receivers.
Same dude that went after J.J. Watt. So, I mean, you know, yeah, he's
free. Exactly. I mean,
he's a little bit off.
He don't care too much, man.
I'll tell you one thing. Going to Tennessee, it's nice to have one of these short road trips. I mean, I've considered driving up there. I am going to fly instead. I was going to take my own vehicle, and then I realized there's no need to do that when there's a perfectly good charter plane that's going to take me there. But I like – it's good for Falcon fans. The rest of our road trips outside of San Francisco, Carolina, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and obviously what happens in Tampa Bay. You have four road trips, and if you're a Falcon fan, it's an hour and a half flight or less.
We're hardly out of the same area code right. on a lot of these trips coming up.
Yeah.
But I found out earlier from our logistics guy that when we take off from Atlanta, we will actually land in Tennessee before we took off.
Wow.
So it's like Back to the Future then.
We will actually be time traveling this week, which is really, really cool.
I see a young Marty McFly over here.
By the way, Back to the Future did drive me nuts.
By 11 o'clock, you were finished yesterday.
11 o'clock, I was done. I was over it.
I still want a pair of those shoes. But they're going for like $2,000 a piece. Only Shaq could
afford
them.
I have never seen the movie, so I really don't understand.
Whoa, you've never seen the movie?
No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen any of the Back to the Futures?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Take your headsets off and leave right now. How about that?
No.
You want me to read some book about watching the ball?
Books.
Books.
Books are your friend.
So are movies.
Not that one.
Dude, watch the movie, dude. What's wrong with you?
I don't want
That's why people were so excited.
I like Teen Wolf.
Well, you can watch
Fox and Teen Wolf.
You can watch Teen Wolf.
As long as you don't watch Teen Wolf. Which, by the way, Teen Wolf, they shoot an entire basketball set with like four shit scenes. They show the same layup with Michael J. Fox and the same awful jump shot with the fat kid over and over.
Did you see one of the things that during one of those scenes bringing that movie up in the background? You can see there's one of the extras. He's got his fly down.
Why do you know this?
I don't know.
How do you know this?
I don't know. This is the thing. I haven't seen Back to the Future, but I know this kind of stuff.
Bosek, we may need that as the video of the week.
It's time to break.
I think it is time to break with Bosek.
All right.
Hi, Bo.
Hey, Bosek, how you doing? Hey,
Bosek, good. What's up,
good,
man?
Good.
Went casual today. No polo, just long sleeve
T-shirt.
Casual
today.
It's all right.
It's okay.
So, Bosek, how do you feel about the, you know?
How'd you like New Orleans?
About the iTunes, you know, it was your fault being.
Yeah, you messed us up.
You didn't mess that up.
I've been putting you guys on there.
Oh, okay.
We've been on there.
No,
we've
been on there. We just haven't advertised it.
No,
that's fine.
I apologize.
Okay.
How'd you like New Orleans?
That's not on you.
I didn't.
Yeah, what'd you do in New Orleans, man?
I didn't really experience the whole New Orleans.
We saw 1 square mile of Metairie while we were there, and that was it.
Where'd you guys go for dinner?
This place called the Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell this.
Okay.
Let me tell this
story. He said okay.
Let me tell this story. Okay. So we stayed in Metairie because when you stay in New Orleans during the week, there's a ton of conventions. So all the hotels fill up, and then on the weekends, it's more open. So when you play there on a Sunday, we're able to get hotels that are kind of in a really
right by Harrah's.
Right by
awesome.
Right by Harrah's, yeah. So we had to stay out in Metairie, which was fine. Now, for me, I'm a 5-year veteran. This is my 6th season. I've done it all I need to do in New Orleans. I don't need to see anything more. I've seen it. I'm done. I just want to go get dinner. I want to go back to my room and watch Netflix. So we decide
and chill.
To stay.
And, yes, chill. And chill.
So we decide to go to a restaurant that Bosek recommends. He looks it up on Google. It's got some good reviews. So we go. It's like a hamburger place. It's called the Harbor something. Harbor Inn. I don't know. Whatever. Harbor Grill. So we go over there. And there's a group of about 6 of us. And it was kind of confusing, the layout. Because, first of all, there was no harbor. So it was a landlocked area of Metairie. So there was no harbor.
The name had nothing to do with. Yeah.
To be seen at all. Yeah. It was also kind of sketchy. A little bit, a lot of power lines.
Which pretty much all of Metairie was kind of sketchy.
Sure. So, also there was there's a bar and a restaurant that aren't really attached.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an outside area. So we go in the bar and it smells like a bowling alley. So we're like, we're not eating there. We go outside and go into the restaurant and walk in. And I'm the first person in. And it's kind of weird. I expected it to be a sit-down restaurant, but there's an order here sign. And so I'm looking in it, kind of taking it all in. And the waitress
is 5 tables in there.
There's five tables, very small. There's 3 slot machines on the side.
Nice.
That, you know, I'm sure deal out house cash or something like that. So waitress is sitting at the front, and she looks at me and she goes, "Hi, guys, how you doing? Just sit wherever." And then she looks at me and she goes, "Can you turn your hat around?"
Uh-oh.
So I had my hat on backwards.
Uh-huh.
So you look like... So
the
you
hat
look
was
like,
black, I assume.
What's the guy from Limp Bizkit? You look like Fred Durst.
Fred Durst.
There you go.
That's my look. Had my hat on my back, and I said, "Really, you want me to turn my hat around?" She's like, "Yeah, it's my boss's rule." Okay, well, I'll put it on forwards because, you know.
Don't want to anger the boss.
Happy. I think that's what you said.
Yeah, as long as everybody else is happy. So here's the thing about me, guys. I don't let anything go. I hold a grudge, and
so that was eating at you throughout the
whole time, and I'm very passive aggressive about these things. So I think I finally let it go because we ended up outside and sitting at a table, and I thought it was the most interesting man in the world a couple of tables down.
Really?
And so that kind of distracted me for a little while. But I was really thrown off by and put off by the fact that I was asked to turn my hat around
in a restaurant
in Metairie that had slot machines that was called the Harbor, yet there was no harbor. And so it was very awkward the first 10-15 minutes there, but we ended up having a good
time. They had some
more. So that was our dinner story. I say all that to talk about there's a lot of bias about hats.
Yeah, I had a much more relaxed dinner atmosphere. We went to a place called Drago's because
I've heard of
big
it.
Seafood
yeah, yeah.
guy, and they had the grilled oysters.
So you
oysters.
Didn't go to Acme, huh?
No, this was supposedly better, and it was really
good. Really?
I got the grilled oysters, I got a filet mignon and lobster because they had it on special. That's the only
thing.
They had it on special.
Dude, what kind of check you're getting? Filet mignon.
Here's what happens. It's me, Arch, and it's Bo Morgan, the producer of the radio network. Bo sits there and complains, "Man, I'm playing on 35 in the steak." What, Bo? I'm going to open too much.
If you guys know Squid,
that's how he talks. Basically, what he was saying was, I picked a place that costs too much. To which Arch looks at him and just basically tells him to shut up. just be quiet. This is how I know we were in a good restaurant. About a half hour in, we're eating, we're having a good time. Who sits like two tables over from us? General manager of this here football team.
Nice.
And he looks at us and goes, food good? Yes, it is. So as long, see, I knew I was in the right place. Right.
But here's the kicker. Did he get the check?
No. He also got a salad.
Roll TD.
I was a little disappointed. I was like, Thomas, you need a salad? I didn't say anything to him, but I'm looking like,
you know, TD likes to, he rides his bikes and stuff, so he's an in shape guy.
He rode his bike to Metairie.
He's an
straight from
guy.
Atlanta. He made it the whole way down. All right, now let's break with Bosek. Now that I'm hungry.
Sorry, Bo, we went off on a tangent on your spot, fine. Man.
What we need is a seafood sponsor here.
Yeah, we do.
Halloween's coming seafood. Up, guys.
Yes.
It is.
Halloween, all around the office, we got sponsorship. They're working on a Halloween event. They're ordering a lot of costumes and
nice.
Scary dolls. People are scaring each other in the office.
That's yeah. Awesome.
We had a Woody walk around the other day.
Hi-yo.
Spider-Man was in the office.
From Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
You gotta clarify.
You gotta be suspicious.
Apologize. Yeah. Yes. Woody the cowboy.
Okay.
Yes.
Toy Story.
There you go.
So I was wondering what you guys' favorite costume is, either what you've been or what you've seen around the Halloween time.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Again, I'm on, this is, oh, no, boy, I got to be careful with what I say.
Did you trick-or-treat in Miami?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I can't wait. I've got a Halloween costume party to go to
You guys got to trick-or-treat, like, before it gets dark, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, in Miami.
Yeah, afterwards, you know, things get a little bit sketchy. I don't want to walk in the wrong neighborhood because you're going to be something else. But I am a big proponent of going out for Halloween, and I was excited this year, A, that the Falcons have a home game on Sunday, B, that Halloween's on a Saturday. So I've already got my costumes planned. I see on here that we are going to dress up next week.
Next week.
So I won't podcast. Give away my costume until we'll okay. see that. But my favorite that I've ever been, last year I was Bray Wyatt, the wrestler from WWE.
Oh, nice.
So I had the long, pretty cool. My favorite, though, I went is Justin Timberlake. But, I have to explain. But not Justin Timberlake in the performer sense. He did a skit on Saturday Night Live called Something in a Box.
Oh, yeah.
And I went as Justin Timberlake's
Something
in a Box. Yeah. It went over really well.
I was going to say, where were you?
People, everybody got that?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you have candy? Yes, I do.
Yeah. I was going to say, were you Justin Timberlake in like a Choose Your Own Adventure series where maybe he finds drugs after the Mickey Mouse Club?
No,
and ends
I was
up,
not.
After
was
the not
that's
Mouse
the only
Club.
Way I could see there any resemblance there.
No, I did the Something in a Box. And it went over pretty well.
Gotcha.
As an adult-themed Halloween costume,
gotcha.
It was fun.
Which is nice.
Did it work out for you?
No.
Okay.
I was in a relationship then.
Gotcha. It still worked out for you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Not really. So I'm really trying to change the subject. So my favorite, I love Halloween. Like, this is my favorite time of year. I can do without like the other holidays.
They
Halloween
can do without Christmas.
Jam. Yep. I am
that
a Halloween
is terrible.
Guy. I have my house is decorated for Halloween all year round. I just, that's kind of my deal. I'm a weirdo. So, but I think probably my favorite costume that I've seen lately is these huge raptor ones that you can – they look like a real dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
So – and I've seen – go to YouTube, and this could definitely be a video of the week sometime.
For next week, for Halloween.
For the next week, for Halloween, is the people who dressed up – in a raptor costume and ran around this like Japanese airport.
That's awesome.
And people are just running away, like just
terrified,
scared to death.
Terrified.
I mean, it was amazing. But they have one of those over at Netherworld, the haunted house in Atlanta. And I was just over there the other night. And
you went to Netherworld?
I went to Netherworld the other night. It was amazing.
Really?
I go every year.
Did it get you a couple times?
Oh, yeah. They get me. I love going out and I scream and swear and do all that kind of stuff. And it's great.
I can see you going through that and just freaking.
No,
somebody.
No, no! I don't do that. I don't do the whole reacting with punches. I just scream and have a good
I can't
time.
Help that. That's my reaction.
Yeah,
when I'm scared is
that's
you,
how you,
you
say hello. That's how you say goodbye.
Yes. I mean, exactly. He said hello to me today by punching me in the kidney, and I'm still hurting.
So excited to see you, man. So.
Oh, I know. But that would be my favorite. I want one of those costumes bad.
Shock.
So since my little one is my little guy's two, he wanted to be. Last year, he wanted to be Superman. So he had a whole Superman outfit, and I had to be Batman. So I had to dress up as Batman and be like a sidekick, and obviously he was better. This year he's going as Captain America, so he has the shield. He has everything. It's literally laying up.
So you have to go as Aquaman, right?
I don't know, man. Not Aquaman. I don't know. We'll see.
My son's being Aquaman. A stormtrooper this year. So, yeah, he's all excited. And, of course, that new stormtrooper, not stormtrooper, the new Star Wars.
He's hyped about that.
Oh, he's excited. Dad, we got to go see it. I'm like, you got to go watch the original ones right. first. Because I have no idea what's going on.
So are you
both sick? What about
Wars
you?
Guy, you're a Star Wars guy?
I like the first three, the original three.
I'm all right.
I've not seen the other ones after
I'm at
that.
Least in good company because yeah. I don't care.
I'm not somebody that's going to run out. Ooh, I'm not dressing as Boba Fett.
Or yeah, over the night, I'm not in there.
Although that would be an interesting costume for me, go as Boba Fett.
I think you should go.
Bosek, what's yours, buddy?
Yeah, don't think you're getting off easy here.
No way.
Yes. I love how he always thinks he's yeah. not going
to
get yeah.
it. He's trying to get to the next
I'm
thing.
I'm always to show you the video of the week.
Yeah. The video can't wait.
But yesterday I saw a good one of Marty McFly. I know, Jay, you love this. But they were wearing, like, black pants and black shoes, and they were in the dark, and you couldn't see their legs. But they were wearing, like, a second pair of jeans. It looked like they were on a hoverboard.
Ah.
It was pretty cool. So they're, like, lying around.
I like that.
It was pretty neat.
Do you remember a couple of years ago the website Texts from Last Night?
Yes. Uh-huh. Great website.
It was, like, all the rage. Everybody was, and it was really funny to read. So I actually, one Halloween, went as a text from Last Night. So I picked out one of the texts and got a T-shirt printed out. And it was just a text. And so, of course, there's, like, no context, right? So everybody's coming up to me and asking me what I am. And so I have to explain that I'm a text from last night. And
hey, but that's a good...
Icebreaker.
It was great.
I did go once as a Florida Gator fan, true story, to a Halloween party. I had a...
Did you fall out and...
I almost got into it with a few people.
What size jean shorts did
you? Here's how I made the costume.
Get on jorts.
No, I went to the thrift store and I bought a $5 pair of jeans or $2 pair. And I cut them off about this long. So they were booty shorts, basically.
Nice.
I, on the back, this is when Tim Tebow was the quarterback, I put in big, bold block letters in a Sharpie, Tebow. I had a Gator T-shirt rolled up, of course. Why wouldn't I? Because I knocked my mic over. I had the Gator shirt rolled off. And on the back, I had a picture of a trailer park.
Oh.
And I had that, like, stapled on the back of the T-shirt. Mullet wig and a camouflage Florida Gators hat.
Austin is not feeling it right now. Wow.
And that was the weekend. Because normally Halloween's around the time of the weekend of Florida-Georgia. And very I think true. Georgia had just beaten Florida. So,
yeah,
of course, the Florida
happened.
Fans out
no
that
doubt.
Night were not happy.
Yeah.
And I'm running around doing the Gator chop.
I think Austin's going to go as a Miami fan this year. It's just going to be what he's wearing now, but it's just going to have a...
Like a ball and chain?
An ankle, a house arrest ankle bracelet.
Couple gold teeth. You need a whole mouthful. Maybe we'll get you a dreadlock wig.
Yeah.
You'll be
just,
ready.
Whatever you do, don't wear your hat backwards.
Yeah, not in Metairie.
Not in Metairie.
Because you'll get in trouble.
Or in that restaurant.
All right, Bosek. Right, what do we have? Video of the week.
Do we have two videos of the week here?
We have two videos. Because the one I wanted to show, but then I noticed that I think Jay and John have both seen this one. I don't know about you, DJ. So here, I wanted to show this one first.
Get your buttons right there.
I got my buttons.
Okay.
So
this is a sport called soccer, DJ. It's
I've heard of it.
So the guy's hurt on the field right now. And they're gonna take
I have seen this. This is awesome.
So they're gonna get him on nice and gentle.
So DJ, in soccer, when you get a hangnail or a little bruise, they bring out the stretcher for you.
What is happening right
now?
Oh,
just watch. You'll see.
It's amazing.
This is one of the great videos of all time. They got the medics out there. They're ready to go.
The medics that they
can actually get up and walk off.
Oh, yeah, and they're going to put him on the stretcher.
No, we're going to put him on the stretcher.
Throw him on the stretcher. And hand up see Daisy.
Come on, let's go.
Now again, keep in mind, he's terribly, terribly injured. He's horribly injured.
If he wasn't injured before, he's injured
now. And
now,
watch, we're going to just set him down gently.
We're just going to leave him.
Oh, man.
And then the other guy's going to be like.
Got him.
And then this guy is so
angry. And
then
they just leave him.
The one guy like slapped his hands like we're done. The guy with the maroon shirt, he's exhausted.
He's either exhausted
or
really
hurt.
Mad at himself.
This guy,
he's just like, I don't want him.
I got it.
He's
got
like,
it,
I'm
got
never
it.
Getting hurt again. Look at him wave his hand. What are we doing?
Right.
He's like, I'm better to walk.
Yeah, we can't figure this out. So clearly we've picked up these medics at like some random moving company.
Just move down.
These guys were sitting on the third row. That's what
I'm
that
done.
Was.
I think I hired these guys as
movers. This guy's exhausted. Look at him. He's like, oh. My back.
Give me 30. Give me 30.
And the guy in the green shirt, like, slaps his hands like that, and then he looks at the other guy like, we did a good job, right?
Dude, that was terrible.
That's one of the great videos of all time.
That dude, that is ridiculous.
That's a good video of the week. Awesome
ridiculous video. Right there. I don't want to be hurt if I got to get hurt in soccer like that. That's great.
Could you imagine if that's how it worked at the NFL?
That would be amazing.
Instead of bringing the cart.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, dude, I'd be like, I just find my way to the sideline. Don't worry about it.
I'd crawl off the field.
But wait, there's more.
Oh.
Oh.
There's one bonus more video
post-sec.
For you guys.
Bonus post-sec. All
right. This one aired on NFL Sunday.
Oh, yeah. There's A-Rod.
Oh, yeah, with A-Rod.
So, yeah, it's Alex Rodriguez.
A long time. It's been over 20 years. I got a shot. Up.
We got right. Jay Glazer over there.
They
want
to catch A-Rod. You're going to throw it to him?
Nice. Oh, he broke it?
Okay, first of all, you're throwing to Jay Glazer, who is no more than 4'11".
Right.
Because we should have got somebody told him.
Yeah, there you go.
Michael Strahan's gone. It's a good thing I make a lot of money. Yeah. Hey, A-Rod, you can replace
him.
I mean, that TV is messed up.
And Jay Glazer's got his hand up like he's going anywhere. You're a stationary target.
Right.
He jumps like
But he jumps, and he his jumps hands and are still. Wide
wait,
open like
did,
this.
Did you call that a jump?
Well.
I've got two bad Achilles and can jump better than
that. Oh, man.
That's amazing. That's why we won't throw actual footballs in here because we don't have enough TVs.
How do you jump like this and expect to catch the ball?
That's not our budget.
Yeah,
no, it's
not. You
can't catch the ball with your hands this
far. The only other funny one that we missed this week was Mike Ditka
farting on TV. Yeah, what happened there? Do you think it was actual? I think it was because he's just old enough to not care.
But Ditka kind of
leaned side.
Did he lean?
Yeah, he leaned.
Because a couple of weeks ago, there was like the Jim Tom Sula incident where like the PR department at the 49ers had to actually release a statement about how it was a reporter in the leather chair.
Why do you have to release a statement? Who cares?
Because everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, Dick Kaleen, but also Chris Carter looked at him like,
like, did you just really do
dude,
that?
Dude, you serious?
But here's the thing. That's why I think he really did it is because this is a guy who was falling asleep on the set.
Right? He was.
Like, he don't care anymore. He just don't care.
He will literally go to sleep.
I was telling somebody earlier, I can't wait till I get to this point in my life where I can just
how you
go
gonna
anywhere
sleep
and sweat
on live TV.
Just not
I'd love
care
to.
About.
Dick will wear his tennis shoes. I mean, Dick could just don't care.
Man. I'd love to crop dust the plane just once.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
And here we go.
I'm a sick human being.
Just see everybody just go into panic.
Yeah, like what? What was that?
Yeah.
Now, so if it happens on the plane, he's looking at you immediately.
Nah, see, I won't do it. I'm afraid right now. This is only year number 5. I gotta have 10 years of equity before I can do that.
Yes.
10 years of equity.
We have a pretty strict no number 2 rule on the plane in the first place.
Yeah. Arch is about the only person that could probably get away with
that. Not on that backside of that plane. Oh, yeah. The back end of that plane, they get a little rough.
That's why I don't go back there.
They get a little rough.
All right, it's been a little rough for Bosek and I when it comes to picks to click. And
Bosek still got a goose egg.
I wanted to overrule what happened last week.
You cannot.
Because I didn't really think any of our picks clicked, to be honest with you.
Gosh.
You scored a touchdown, that clicks. If you don't get that touchdown, it's bad. So that's
bad
a click.
Either way.
But you got it.
Look,
it
man,
clicks.
Sometimes in this game, you win by default. And that's
that, no, I don't care what you guys say. It's not by default.
Well,
it wasn't
of course you don't care. Of course you don't
care. It happened. It was good.
Shock wins again. Yeah. He had
I love ugly wins. That's
he
all
had Roddy, who had 23 receiving yards on 3 catches and a touchdown.
Had a touchdown.
That's not even good stuff.
That's he had a touchdown. That's what
Jay,
matters.
You had Robert Alford. 5 tackles, pretty good. I had Hank, 4 catches, 34 yards. And Bosek had Tammy, 3 for 32, but – DJ now in the lead with 3 wins. Jay, you've got 2.
It's great
2.
To be me.
I've got 1, and Bosek still with a goose egg. Who's it on?
And is he going first?
Yeah, whoever's in last
Goosek's
gets to go
first. Where are you going? Oh.
Are you leaving?
It's great to be me.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I thought you were giving him the golden.
To the winner goes the sombrero.
I thought you were giving him the golden sombrero, meaning he keeps
great
losing.
To be me.
Bosek, who are you taking this week against the Tennessee Titans?
Tennessee Titans?
Oof. He hadn't thought about
it. I'm going to go with Robert Alford.
You just like the corner position, don't you?
I'm waiting for my pick 6 and picks to click. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, you had touchdowns with
your pick 6 already happened with Desmond Trufant.
Yeah, you had those.
I missed my opportunity.
You didn't.
But I'm
take
going
him.
Back to it.
You should have took
going
it.
Robert off.
All right, John.
You're taking
like
Robert
you're
off.
Up.
I get to go next. I'm going completely off the board.
Uh-oh. He's going AWOL.
I think Tevin Coleman is going to be the pick to click this week because...
You just took my pick.
Really? Good. Man. I'm taking Tevin Coleman because everybody's downing him. Everybody's doubting him. And I think Dan Quinn's going to make sure he gets about 12 carries. He's going to break off a touchdown this week. I'll take TC for the win.
Okay. All right, that changes everything for me.
But that's who you was going for?
That's who I was going to take, Tevin. For the bounce back. But I'm going to go with my man. I think he's the hot hand on the defense right now, Adrian Claiborne. I'm going to go with him getting to Mettenberger and making him pay.
And Mettenberger will be right there waiting for him. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Shock, who are you taking? You going back to 8-4 again?
Nope. I'm not. I'm going with Willie Moe.
Always
ready. He gonna get him. He gonna have about 9-10 solo tackles.
Ooh.
And he gonna have a pick on Mettenberger.
Wow.
9 or 10 and a pick. That'll be NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
That would be it.
So Willie Moe.
Willie Moe. I forgot who I picked.
Who did you pick? You picked
Adrian Claiborne.
Tevin Coleman. Robert Alford. That's our picks to click. Guys, don't forget, go on iTunes, search FalconCast, subscribe. You can take us with you. Till next week when we're 6-1. Peace. Slider on the outer half. No, a little low.
I hit myself.